Hey everyone, it's Monday, so we get the replay of the road to revenue and happiness, and we made everyone happy as I teamed up with Clarity Experiences for the best virtual TV show, the 2-Minute Drill Pitch Competition. You're going to hear 6 different pitches, and I'm going to give them feedback and lessons to learn and move on to fulfill their dreams of happiness. Don't forget to join us on Bloomberg TV, on all of our digital channels. We are going to be launching the 2-Minute Drill show on TV in January, filming the next few months. But remember, join my text community, 949-298-2905, to join us for every Friday's free training. Every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, you can join us or email me at david@dmeltzer.com.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
All right, welcome to a special Friday training. The road to revenue and happiness is the 2-Minute Drill Pitch Competition, a pilot for Bloomberg back there, and you're going to be the first to see the show on this extraordinary set. I just have to take a moment. Can you believe this thing? Incredible that we're able to do this. I want to thank Clarity Experiences right off the bat for building me what is the most incredible virtual set. I've done TV shows, movies, a variety of things, spoken around the world, and this may be the coolest stage I've ever stepped on. I want to thank them for that. Everyone, I know this is a special edition. We will have the normal Road to Revenue training next Friday. We'll slip right back into manifestation, how to make your possibilities, probabilities, and your probabilities your reality or perspective. We're going to materialize everything for you today. I also want to take a special moment for 1 second because today is National Daughter Day, and I'm blessed to have 3 daughters, and I just want a big shout out to Marissa, Mia, and Marlena. I love you. All right, let's jump right into the competition. It's going to be 2 minutes of pitch, my feedback. Then they're able to ask a question, and I'll give the answer to the question. And at the end, we're going to pick the top 3 to be and finally name the champion. 3rd, 2nd, and 1st place. Each contestant's going to get 2 minutes to pitch. Let's get started. All right, our first contestant is sponsored by Alkaline 88. My favorite water, by the way. Alkaline 88, I want to thank you for sponsoring Jaden Reisner, and he is going to pitch me about Family Proud. All right, Jaden, make me proud.
Thanks, David. Appreciate everyone's time. Yeah, good morning. My name is Jaden Reisner, the CEO, co-founder of Family Proud. Family Proud is a software platform that helps bring peace of mind to patients and families. We connect families to one another so they can share their lessons learned through their time of need, and also help them save money through our care registry. We're focused on the cancer and military family market to start and are actively supporting families. So several years ago, I was deployed with the Navy and I was notified that my mother had a heart attack and I was faced with the concept of remote support and care. I've been an informal caregiver for her for about 5 years now. And I want everyone to think about someone that they love and care about and ask yourself, what are you willing to do for them in a time of need? And most importantly, do you know what to do to help? And Family Proud helps answer that "what can I do to help" question and make supporting and receiving and providing support easy. Medical expenses are the number one reason families go bankrupt in the United States. And with over $4 trillion spent in healthcare, $350 billion are actually out-of-pocket expenses. Family Proud not only addresses the cost, but we also point to, for example, GoFundMe, where 1 out of every 3 GoFundMe sites are medical donation. So it's not a question that other people are looking for people to support. And in, versus a compassion fatigue, Family Proud actually closes loops the act of supporting and ensures there's that transparency. The care registry actually provides product service recommendations based on the hardship, and this allows families to communicate a clear, sustainable model for their support network. We generate revenue through the partnerships and software licensing. Now, as a family, you have a warmth to navigate through your care journey, and as a supporter, you have the ability to provide that tangible support. We're a graduate of a top digital health accelerator, recipient of an SBI award. We're a small business technology partner with Qualcomm, and understand how at scale we can help provide healthier families and stronger communities. Our team is made up of Naval Academy graduates, Stanford GSB, cancer survivors, and military veterans. But most importantly, we all have experiences as caregivers, patients, and survivors, and truly understand what it means to deliver empathy through technology. There's no greater time than now to support those in need. Sadly, the market of families in need will never go away. We're looking for strategic partners and $400,000 to complete our raise. We invite you to join our family.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is a heck of a pitch for a heck of a cause. And I apologize about mispronouncing Risner. I was told it was Risner. I apologize. Credibility, credibility, you nailed it. I was a little bit worried on the credibility side, and then you just threw it all in the end with the great degrees and the great experience. So give you an A for credibility. You told a story that gave that emotional connection. You just didn't describe the need in the marketplace, but you told a story that uses a different part of not only the mind that allows people to remember what you do and how applicable it is, but also remember people bound emotion for logical reasons. It's where we connect so that you have an advantage over just a quantitative value that you can provide as a business service or solution. It also enhances the credibility to feel emotionally connected. And obviously healthcare is an extremely emotional issue today. And of course, with veterans and other things related to that, you really honed in and once again, give you an A for the emotional connection. On the side of quantifying the reasons that we should invest, the impact it has, I think the reasons to invest, that question was a little bit shy. You ran out of time. You want to make sure you got that ask in there, right? We got plenty of time. Everyone needs to practice. So one place for improvement would be to go ahead and fit in the ask to make sure that whether it's a minute, 2 minutes, or a 5 minute pitch competition, you have such a polished, executed pitch that you want to make sure you include every single aspect from the credibility that you did, the emotional attachment that you did, to being able to quantify the reasons of that ask and apply it back so you can see no reason you wouldn't want to move forward. The capabilities you have, I thought you once again did a great job. So the only thing that I would recommend is to polish the polish, meaning get the timing down so that you can include that last piece. And I would add a little bit of more data on the quantitative value that you provide in the savings of having a registry, as well as the ability to raise more money for those people. I think if there was some numbers in there and how many people on the register today, I know the accelerators that you won and all the other stuff probably are indicative that you are getting further along and have a value to provide. You definitely reached the threshold that I want to learn more. So congratulations. Love to hear if you have a question for me.
Yeah, thanks so much for the feedback, David. I think a big one there, and certainly in alignment, you know, certainly believe that we're stronger together as a young company. You know, any recommendations and your thoughts around positioning? Certainly, there's a lot of CSR with larger organizations. How to best position to those organizations? To, of course, look to see how we can support them as an organization and as a young company to best take advantage of or really leverage into the CSR aspect as a young company.
You know what's so extraordinary about that question is your whole business is built on the ask and attract strategy that I like, meaning you're providing value and services to others. You're creating a void for the universe to fill. You're creating a void that people want to, a vacuum that people want to participate in. What I would do with the hyper-intelligent, experienced people that you have is I would spend at least a half a day a week in doing and being more interested than interesting, doing research, looking at the capabilities that you have, the skills that the company has, the knowledge of not only what, which you guys have down pat, but who. And I think if you pay attention to and give attention to the who in the industry, and then have the radical humility to find and reach out with the credibility that you have and the progress that you've made, I don't think you've asked enough people in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, and social media, that simple question, hey, we have extended and expanded what we've been doing with great success. Do you know anyone that can help me? And I think getting your whole team involved in that ask and attract strategy beyond providing service and value and displaying the radical humility that you have beyond helping others, but asking for help, you'll find, like you said, tons of channel partners, CSRs, and other people that are going to step up to accelerate and expand what you're doing already. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, David.
All right, Jaden Risner, thank you so much. With Family Proud, I'm very proud of you. Great job. Okay, our next contestant is sponsored by Dose. That's right, elevate your life with dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphin. I use Dose. I love Dose. makes me happy, empowers others to be happy. Thank you, Dose, for giving us a dose of joy here with Clarity and Bloomberg on 2 Minute Drill. Second contestant is Luann DiBernardo, and she's with Oro Sports Cooling Wearables. All right, here we go, Luann. You better heat it up so I need some cooling down. You're up.
Hi, David. Oro Sports is an established bootstrap company that's based on the science that 75% of your body's total energy is devoted to regulating body temperature, leaving only 25% for moving muscle. Now, an athlete's job is to move muscles. So when they're tapping into that 75% reserve for thermal regulation, they're actually robbing their body's ability to regulate body temperature. So what happens when that happens? 7 days ago, a teenage boy collapsed on a high school football field when his body temperature reached 106 degrees. He was taken by ambulance to hospital. His body organs failed, including his brain. And 2 days later, his parents were forced to watch the death of a son from a death that could have been 100% prevented. He was the fourth teen to die from heat stroke on a high school playing field that could have been prevented from only cooling their bodies. At Oro Sports, we design and manufacture high-impact cooling wearables that not only improve performance, but help prevent those types of heat injuries, even just heat stress, which can be critical to someone who has a chronic condition. Cooling with our garments, you can mitigate that heat stress. Pre-cooling alone has been proven to improve performance by as much as 21%. We're soon to launch our own patent-pending game-changing cooling technology. It's a technology that when frozen, colder than ice, is still completely flexible. And that's gonna allow us to really ramp up our constructions and move into other industries. But it isn't only athletes, it's the competitive worker, occupational worker. We're looking at people in the oil, gas, nuclear industries, people that are doing solar installations, groundskeepers, welders, foundry workers, et cetera. The heat problem is so prevalent that employers are estimated to be spending $220 billion a year on heat-related injuries. Our decision to focus on sports was based on the fact that we believed we're done.
All right, well, that's the fun of the 2 minute drill. And I think no matter how much we practice, that happens. So Luann, first of all, I think A+ on the emotional aspect. You know, it's stories like those that allow an investor, a channel partner, a partner, an associate, or even a future employee to resonate and have the passion and purpose that's needed in order to effectuate what really needs to be done. And, you know, obviously heat is a huge issue for athletes, but I love the way that you tied it in to a critical life issue as we came off of one of the hottest weeks in history in the world. I can imagine how heat deters performance as well as safety. And I think you hit both and could have nailed it a little more on the economic side of, you know, if a worker gets hot and overheated, you know, and has to cool off for an hour, you know, economically with 1,000 employees that are working outside roofing or cementing, these are all areas that you could as well work on. The credibility, I like the fact that you're utilizing. One thing I want to point out to everyone is, you know, just like Clarity Experiences provided me huge advantages of being virtual by creating a stage that would be so much more expensive. It's mobile. I can bring stuff over to Luann in a different country or state or wherever it is, utilizing what we couldn't do before, right? You have an entire set, and yeah. I appreciate that. It's beautiful. And, you know, whether or not even using notes that can be in front of you and other things that if you were sitting in my boardroom pitching me, you wouldn't be able to do all of that. So A+ on that as well. Once again, everyone, we want to practice. I always call it the clap regulator, meaning until you can pitch, just like I asked you, if all I asked Luann is said, Luann, I'm going to invest $1 million in you if you can clap once. I don't think she'd be nervous doing so. And what I want her to do is practice so much her pitch that it's like clapping. And when you get to that familiarity where you know the sentences, you know the timing, because the most critical thing beyond credibility, which you have, is the ask. And unless we know what you're asking for, it's hard to evaluate a pitch. Because if you told me, Dave, I'm looking to give you my entire company for free just to introduce me into Under Armour, you know, that's a different pitch than, Dave, I want $10 million to introduce me into Under Armour. Either way, exceptional job. I want everyone to know that this is part of pitching. This is why we do this in training and why everyone's participating in the show, is so that people can learn that it's not as easy as it looks, as you will attest, Luann. But great job. And once again, too, great space for me, my core competency. You did hit the threshold, by the way, that I want to learn more. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Perfect. All right. On to our next contestant. Our next sponsor of the contestant is one of my favorite ever, Dale Carnegie. If anybody's ever read the book, Think and Grow Rich, Dale Carnegie funded Napoleon Hill to go around to the greatest and most successful business and entrepreneurs in the world and get and aggregate their best advice. Check out Dale Carnegie Training. It's made me who I am, and I've gone several different times with several different companies in my career. Our third contestant is Alec Graw with Lux. All right, let's see how luxy he is. All right, Alec, you're up.
How's it going, David?
Awesome,
thanks,
brother.
For having me. My two asks for you are, one, to join our board of advisors that would require 30 minutes of your time once per month to help us focus on strategy and growth. My second ask is a picture of you wearing our premium Lux robe. You know how we sometimes become so busy that we forget to prioritize ourselves? In college, my co-founder and I struggled with the insecurities of anxiety, self-appearance, and lack of energy in our daily routine. Men have no go-to place. That's why we created Lux, every guy's wingman. Lux empowers men to become the champions of their life by providing products that improve their confidence, performance, and appearance. We are a subscription box curated for the modern man. Become a member for just $90 per quarter and receive one box every 3 months of full-sized premium products valued at over $200 of the top brands in men's fitness, wellness, technology, and grooming. We started Lux 3 months ago and currently have over 320 members. We are in the infancy stage of our business focused on cash flow and acquiring members. Earlier this month, we finalized a family and friends raise and launched our new website on October 1st with an exciting new partnership known as Manscaped. Right now, we outsource our fulfillment. We make 30% margins and have already monetized our magazine found in every box, and we pay back our CAC after two boxes. We are marketing this quarter's box towards women as the gift of 2020 through mainly paid ads and influencer marketing. Important factors we are prioritizing as we grow are CAC, LTV, churn, as well as innovation and building a kick-ass ambassador program in the $10+ billion subscription e-commerce industry. Source McKenzie. What kind of rope can I get you, David?
There you go. All right. I love it. Well, if it's free, it's me. So I'll be happy to wear that robe. Maybe I'll put my pipe in as well. And I'm happy to sit as a board of advisor member as well. So you hit that threshold. Now, personal choice, and I like to distinguish this when someone pitches, that this is my own personal preference. And so in order to figure out people's personal preferences, you need to be more interested than interesting. And I would ask other people that have pitched someone to say, hey, or done due diligence, they would know that I like the ask, right? I love the ask. I teach the ask. And one of my favorite pitches are feeling confident enough to make that ask at the beginning so that I can gear everything that you say afterwards towards that specific ask, and you don't run the risk of not getting the ask in. So congratulations for knowing your audience and for making the ask, and my answer is yes. A couple areas where you can improve. Obviously, the subscription-based business holds a great annuity. So going through a little bit of the quantitative analysis of the benefits of why it's such a multi-million dollar industry. Male vanity is a growing industry. A couple numbers could have been added in there. The place that I thought you would have hit, because you had such a fun approach to it, you had a familiarity, the emotional attachment, I think you had a great opportunity, instead of describing the problems or the needs of most young men, including you and your friends, if you could have shared a quick story. You know, when I was in college, I was this or that, and really drawn in that part of the brain, the heart set and mindset combined, that may add even more emotion, more emphasis and passion to what you're doing, and allow me to have a higher value in what you're you're doing and a better receptivity to that. So that's an area that you could improve upon as well. I love the relaxed demeanor, right? I always call it above the game. And so some of the things, you know, since this is a training as well, to be above the game means that you're able to step outside of the pitch and make a comment. So notice my reaction at the end of it when you kind of stepped outside of a normal, stuffy, stiff pitch and said, all right, Dave, what kind of robe do you want? That's an above the pitch or above the game type of understanding of what you're doing. And what it does is it elevates you in stature. It makes yourself equal, then it rises you above it. And a lot of times we don't make ourselves equal to the people we're pitching to, and you did such a great job of doing that. So I look forward to sitting on your board of advisors. I look forward to sitting in your robe, and anything else you want to send me for free, it's me. Thank you so much. You got a question for me?
Yeah, my one question was, our challenge is growing our subscriber base. What one person would you recommend going after for additional board members and to help us grow that?
Well, the strategy that I use for board of advisors, and remember, there's two sets. I call the minor leagues the board of advisors. There's no liability. There's less responsibility. I usually take a board of advisors and have one ask like you do. I need you for 30 minutes a year, once a year, and I'm willing to give you this to do that, and have one ask for that 30 minutes. So Dave Meltzer is known to have great spheres of influence. So our ask of him is going to be X. What I like to do is get kind of a foreman of a board of advisors. Someone that's going to, their responsibility of being on the board of advisors is to build the board of advisors. And I don't like limitations on board of advisors. I think if you could have 100 board of advisors with 100 different asks, this guy knows people to raise money. This person knows how to get more better, you know, better pricing on supplies. This person knows the box manufacturer. This person's great at graphic arts. Whatever it is, one ask and allow that board of advisor to build a board of advisors using that one key member that has great spheres of influence, that knows all of those people for you. And then from that pool of board of advisors, this is where we select the board members. You know, by the people that get most passionate, by the people that are aligned the most, who perform the best and are most committed, some may even be investors, we want to allow them to then take on the more liable and more responsible board of directors, which has a more integrated role. So understanding the difference between board of advisors and board of directors, asking for one ask and allowing one real foreman to build that board of advisors is my normal course of building those out. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, thanks, David. That's great.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Great pitch. I look forward to sitting on your board of advisors. Get your ask ready, and I'm looking forward to that robe. Thank you. All right. Here we go, rolling right ahead. Contestant number four is brought to you by, oh yeah, La Costa Azul, the best michelada I've ever had. I had to put them up there. I love the logo, by the way. It reminds me of when I'm hanging out in Cabo with all my friends. I got to get myself one of those crowns. Maybe we can put that with the robe, the crown. That'll work well, hopefully. Anyway, our fourth contestant, he looks like a deer in headlights, but he's not. It's KC Chohan, together CFO. All right, put this all together, Casey.
All right, you got it, David. Thank you so much for having me. David, I'm Casey Chohan, founder and CEO of Together CFO. Our one ask is there any reason you wouldn't want to know how much you have personally been overpaying in your taxes? And for us to show you exactly how to stop that happening again. If we can successfully show you that, would you be willing to then introduce us as a warm referral to your network? A little bit more about us, what we do is I am a writer for Forbes magazine. I've had over 1 million downloads of my articles and reads. I was voted top 10 entrepreneurs to watch out for in Yahoo Finance this year in 2020. I'm also a podcast host of The CEO Story, which has had over 100,000 downloads in the last 2 months since we launched. I've been a keynote speaker at the Accounting and Finance Conference in 2019. And my company is also approved for government contracts. A little bit about me personally, I worked for 8 years for a $4 billion company called Flowserve. It's a big S&P 500 company, which relocated me from England to LA, which is where I am right now. In 2016, I then started my own business to help add value to business owners and really use my skill set and knowledge to help people that need it the most. Our team now has over 40 years of advanced experience in complex trust structures. And a little bit about how that got about is that we helped 10x one of our clients on the CFO side. So his business went from 5 million to 50 million and then created a huge tax problem, which then allowed us to specialize in solving that problem. We build tax structures rather than loopholes. So we help people stop overpaying on taxes, saving money, increasing their efficiency and transferring wealth whilst mitigating any capital gains. So that's how we go about adding value to our clients.
Wow. All right. This is a good one. So Casey, really, really nice job. I like the beginning, right? Because you nailed something that I'd say gets everybody. I call it the pen example, right? Can you see any reason why you wouldn't want to do this? I'm going to save you money on taxes that you've already paid, right? And I assume you're going to make a percentage of that for saving me it, which is a profit center.
Yep.
The improvements that can be made, and this is, you know, everyone has their own personalities, everyone has their own capabilities, skills, knowledge, and desire, and this is very much an accountant's pitch. This is very much a CFO pitch, because there was very little emotional attachment, which, you know, my numbers people are known for. It was a pitch like a spreadsheet. You know, it was almost looked as if we were reading down a spreadsheet with extreme credibility, right? So what saved your pitch and why I want your help and why I will give warm introductions to anyone I know that has paid the dummy tax of paying too much in taxes. I tell people all the time, you know, on my pitch, I tell them, here, it's simple. If I called you and said, I will pay your state and federal taxes, would you like that? If by working with me, I promise to pay your state and federal taxes, all of them. And everyone says, yeah, sure, I'll work with you. But I actually do something better than that, because I pay for taxes that are more expensive than that. It's called the dummy tax, right? I've paid more dummy tax than anyone. And what I do in helping people is, let me pay the dummy tax for you, and you'll easily be able to afford not only Casey's services, but the federal and state taxes that you actually may owe beyond what he saves you. So you had a great value proposition, quantified right from the start. You grabbed my interest. And then you didn't give me anything more than what I could have read off of a spreadsheet, although the data, extremely valuable, right? Extremely valuable. So what I would do to improve upon that is I would tie all the valuable and value-based statements that you have, all the profit center-based statements, the credibility of the awards, the podcast, the team, all of those things, I tied into a lesson in a story. So you could say, well, when I won this award, I won it because I da 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 da. And when I do my podcast, which is a top podcast, by the way, with millions of downloads, I learned this about the company. 85% of all people have overpaid their taxes, right? That's a valuable piece of information, of your estimate, at least, of how many people have overpaid in their taxes. You know, I've worked with, you know, 12, you know, after so-and-so winning this and that or whatever, tied into a story, I worked with 1,200 clients, and only three of them, I wasn't able to save them any money. Can you imagine how many people out there are not paying the right taxes? So very good. Let's make it less. I know it'll be counterintuitive for you. Let's make it more emotionally attachment. But otherwise, I'm all in. I want to see how much I've overpaid in the past. What question do you have for me?
Thank you, David, for that feedback. Question for you is, getting celebrity clients. So we have a lot of high net worth family offices and affluent people, but we don't have many celebrities. Is there any tips or tricks to get the celebrity over the line and to commit versus the regular word of mouth people that are normally flowing in?
Absolutely. So the way that we get celebrity clients is not to ask. So I talk about spheres of influence. And so by being more interested than interesting, and this is exactly the sports agent game. When I ran Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, I learned from Lee, the most notable sports agent in the world, about spheres of influence. And so what we would do, obviously we wanted to recruit and to sign the celebrity, the athlete, or the entertainer. But what we would do is we would service and provide value to all the people around them. And then they would be invited to come along with all the people around them that we were servicing and helping and providing value to, and organically, we would subtly or organically mention, oh, we were able to save Uncle Steve, you know, so much on his taxes. I can't imagine how much you've overpaid. Oh, what did you do? And then I've actually reversed it. Another way to do it is to make an investment, and I'll give a little bit of secret sauce here. If you do know an influencer of celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, it's okay to invite them or even pay them to come to something and invite them, right? If you're paying and they're being compensated, invite them to invite the people that they know, knowing without specifying that they know celebrities, athletes, entertainers, or influencers, and then building a relationship that you're invited back and forth, always providing value to others, and then asking, hey, do you know anyone that could help me? One of the keys to the celebrities, athletes, entertainers is I don't ask directly. I'll ask someone like Marshall Falk, hey, Marshall, do you know anyone could help me? I'm looking for someone that can babysit my daughter. Right? This is the type of thing that builds that relationship. And then they start asking you, oh, can you help me? I heard that you were able to save me all my taxes from the last 5 years. Hey, I'd love to do that for you. So go ahead and work the spheres of influence, ask and attract, even pay someone that has that influence to invite others and be invited into their spheres of influence that gives you the organic or subtle ask. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. So when I'm inviting them, is it like, for instance, you know, we both love golf. I had a golf ball prop ready here for you. A golf day is an example that's sponsored by my company or something along those lines.
Yeah, so within the context of the hospitality, I don't necessarily make it so straightforward. We can utilize invitations to things where you know it might have an emotional opportunity to make a connection and then bring up the topic and allow them to ask you. You know, really get the gift of allowing them to ask you. And it, you know, and if they're not asking you, ask them for help, right? Do you know anyone who can help me? I'm looking for this. Boom. There's some psychiatric and psychology sales books out there that'll talk about, and Ben Franklin talked about it, asking people for favors makes them to be an investor in you. Once they become an investor in you, they want to elevate you, which will actually energetically want them to help you more and make more introductions for you.
I love it. Thank you.
Great job, Case. Get a personality onto that spreadsheet and you'll kill it, all right? Oh my God, my younger brothers are like, oh, he used to tell me that. All I'm doing is reading from a spreadsheet. All right, we got to light it up here. We're already on contestant number 5. It's been incredible. The first 4, great job. Let's see who is backing our contestant number 5. Oh, my favorite, Vivin Solar. Thank you so much. Presenting our 5th contestant, Ross O'Dwyer from Locker. Let's see what you have behind the door.
Hi, David. How you doing? My name is Ross O'Dwyer. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Locker. Locker is co-founded by a team of people that spent over 40 years in sports media and sports publishing. We saw a massive problem and an opportunity within it that no one had built a single source platform for sports fans to consume written, audio, video, live sport, stats, and gamble in one place and stop this needless, frustrating journey for sports fans around the web. And essentially, due to sport, what Spotify did to music. How Locker works is super simple. We integrate content providers. When they're free providers, we integrate them into the platform and do a rev share around their content on advertising. When it's paid providers, we too integrate them, but this falls into our premium package called Locker Pro. This allows sports fans build a customized bundle for what content they want at a particular price. They pay this monthly or annually, and we do a rev share with our partners. Lastly, on the gambling, what Locker allows sports fans to do around the world is integrate their chosen gambling or fantasy provider. From there, they can place bets at ease. What this does for the house is increases the number of bets per user, and we do a rev share then with the house. How Locker works is we actually verify all the sources within the platform, so you don't have the issue of fake news. And our AI studies you, so we show you more of the content you do want and less of what you don't want. In terms of our traction to date, we're obviously one of the 10 companies selected for the Techstars Indiana program. And we've raised over $850,000 in our pre-seed round. We've built our MVP and we launched our beta in Q4 this year. And we've also partnered with various media houses, teams, leagues, and gambling providers around the world. We're launching in Ireland in beta and going into full launch in Indiana in the States. My ask is that David, perhaps yourself even, or some of the viewers, would take part in closing out our seed round as we aim to raise $1 million. Thanks for your time.
Oh, very good. Very good, Ross. Okay. Let's start with technique. First of all, there's a lot of arsenal that you have. There's a lot of great credibility. And I think, you know, especially when we have an accent, and I know I have an accent, so to you, when we're pitching, we want to slow down a little bit. And you know, hit the time mark perfectly. But there was one part especially where I want you to slow down. When you start off telling that you're an aggregator of data, that you are the Spotify of sports content, you know, this great locker of data, you and I both know that the quantitative value of what you're doing is in the gambling. That's what set forth your company to get an $850,000 raise, to get into this TechStars program. The real money is in the gambling and the data that's behind that gambling. And so I want you to slow down at that beginning of the pitch and say, look, we do this, 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 all in one place, and we allow you to gamble. Right? And gambling's been approved in the United States in 22 states in the last 18 months. Gambling's one of the oldest professions in the world. Always successful, even in this time of uncertainty. People are dying to gamble. It's what they're going to gamble on. And during the pandemic, if it was cornhole, we would have had it on locker and you'd been able to facilitate whatever it was. So if you slow down, you could tell the story a little bit better because you have such a powerful story. And I don't think you gave it justice for what it was, including, you know, you could talk fast to save the time on the normal stuff, but I want you to slow down on the key things. The Indiana, right? TechStars Sports, the accelerator in Indiana, powered by Indiana. I mean, those things are incredible. $850,000 already raised. A lot of credibility there when you're doing a 2-minute drill pitch. You know, these are the things that if you can't slow down during the whole pitch, slow down and explain out the significance of what you have, and you will have even more success. The last thing that I would do, I like to ask. I like, here's my ask. And you went ahead and said, hey, close out our round. And not only me to close out the round, but all the people that are watching and listening, et cetera, go to Locker, check it out, because I'm a big supporter of the company and I suggest that you learn more about the company. I always like to know the valuation of what you're looking at. So if you're raising $1 million, right, and you know, some sort of key in at least of what I'm gonna get on a raise or what, you, even if you just, without evaluation, you know, because I don't wanna mess with any of the compliance side, but even something like we take units as small as $25,000, right? Some sort of indication of what type of investor and value you're giving. Extraordinary job. Slow down on the good stuff. You got so much there. Make sure people understand it because you have that beautiful accent. We don't want people to get lost. Now, do you have a question for me?
Yeah, thanks, David. Appreciate the feedback as well, and great to see you again. You know, one of the things we're looking at, David, is maybe bringing in strategics, not in this round, but do you have any advice for bringing in strategics in terms of investment over the longer term, maybe seed A rounds, B rounds as you go through?
Yeah, so this is a great question because I want to talk to everybody. I've always, you know, strayed away from, hey, I'm looking for a strategic investor in, because I want to tell you two words that come to mind when someone tells me I'm looking for strategic investment. No duh. Right? Of course you are. Everybody, they want two things. They want money and somebody that can help them. And preferably, I'd like someone with money with someone that can help me. So I love to structure a deal that has the ability to take money that isn't strategic. Okay, so the first thing is, I want people to be honest out there and said, look, I have a vehicle that even if you're the biggest a-hole in the world, I'm going to take your money. I'm going to take your money and you're going to have no effect on my business. That's what I want to structure a deal like. You have a pulse. I want your money. That's cool. Then we also want to have, like you said, a focus on how do I bring in strategic partners that hopefully also will be strategic enough to want to invest in us. They're two separate things, raising money and bringing in a strategic partner. they're two separate things. So the best way to bring in a strategic investment is to create a business case, to create a pitch, to create an ask, to ask and attract, utilize the five daily practices of Dave Meltzer in order to effectuate strategic partners. And if you are valuable enough to a strategic partner, they're gonna beg you to invest in you. Trust me, I have been involved in so many things. There's no even reason to ask. When you have a strategic partner and they see what's going on, they're like, hey, can I get in this game? And so let's be real about it, everyone out there in this pitch. Take people's money with the pulse, create a program that focuses on strategic partners who you think you can convert by showing value, by showing opportunity that will want to invest. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's great, Dave. Thanks very much for that advice. Brilliant.
You got it, my friend. I will talk to you soon. Keep up the good work. All right. What a great show. This show is matching the quality of my stage, by the way. The next contestant is sponsored by, presented by, one of my favorite meditation tools, Muse. Muse is a tool that you put on your head, allows you to utilize your highest frequency to raise your awareness and to make life simple, calm, and peaceful. And here they are presenting our sixth contestant, our last contestant. The bar or the net has been raised for you, my friend. Haytham El-Atrabi with Tenabot. And come on, Haytham, tell us what this is all about.
Thanks, David. Tenabot is an autonomous tennis collector. Think of Roomba for tennis. It saves players and coaches 20% of their time on court, whether you're hitting with a ball machine, practicing serve, or just taking a listen. So I'll give you a little bit of context. I moved to the U.S. in 2009. I grew up in Egypt. I finished up my master's and 7 years there and came to the U.S. to get my PhD in Auburn. And in Auburn, I learned how to play tennis. I met my co-founder on the tennis court. We ended up realizing we spent a ton of time backing up tennis balls instead of playing tennis. So we developed the world's coolest robot, Tenabot. It's an autonomous rover in addition to the Tenabot on the court picking up tennis balls. There's a station on the net post, tracks the Tenabot on the court and create heat map and provide a lot of player data and stats. We are selling the product for $950 for the station and the rover, plus $12.50 for the monthly subscription to get access to this data. We were fortunate enough to get early on a lot of amazing investors on our board, like the iRobot co-founders, TechStar Sports. We have several patents in the U.S. and Europe, 3 issued utility and and design patents, plus 2 pending patents in Europe. We won several awards, like the Innovation Awards by the Tennis Industry Association and the CES Innovation Award. We are basically a step function for tennis players. Before Tenabot, you needed 2 to 4 players to play the sport. Now with Tenabot, you can go out, pick up balls, and very soon it will be able to shoot it back at you. The goal is to bring that sport to the 21st century and allow players to actually enjoy their time on court while adding value to their game. That's all, and would love to hear any questions you have. Thank you.
Well, the Zumba for tennis, I love it. I love the way that you start because you get a great picture in the mind. The other thing that you did extremely well, Haytham, is you told a story while you gave the facts. Right? You were telling the story how you came over from Egypt, you met your co-founder, so you kind of inserted the fact that you had this co-founder. You could even have mentioned, you know, my co-founder and I went to Stanford or whatever. That can be added into the story. And then you started talking about the percentage of time that's utilized to pick up tennis balls, which is the critical business issue, which also gets my mind moving. What other sports do we spend an inordinate amount of time picking up balls? And would this new Tenabot be able to have a different sport version of it in order to effectuate the same critical business issue? The parts that we can work on, it's a great job, is to be able to, the quantification. You talked about the pricing of the model, the size of the market, how many people play tennis. One of the demographics that I know of tennis players, it's the affluence of the people who play tennis. The average person that plays tennis has a much higher income than other sports. And that's why it's always targeted in sports and endorsement and sponsorship. And it's also a men and woman. In fact, it's one of the few sports that have a bigger following for women than it does for men. And so talking through the issues of why you're going to sell so many of these, what are the profit margins, where you're at, and then most importantly, as always within the context of six of these things, and look, I'm as dumb as anybody else. I forget things. I think I forgot to ask Luann to ask me a question, just to be honest and illuminate that, you know, lessons are there to learn and you're going to forget every lesson you've ever learned. But please don't forget this lesson next time. Ask. I want to ask. I have no idea. I love the Tenabot. I totally understand the Tenabot. I see the success that you're having with the Tenabot. I love the data side of knowing where rich people spend their money and spend their time. You know, I just saw Social Dilemma. I'm all over, you know, as much as everyone's afraid of that, I'm using the Tenabot to get myself some more of that data to take advantage of it and make money, help people, and have fun with the Tenabot. But I have no idea what I can do for you because there wasn't an ask. And I want to help. And I can't help unless you ask. The two things, real quickly. One, right, gratitude. We learned before we were three. Just say thank you before you go to bed and when you wake up. And two, don't forget to ask. You're not going to get unless you ask. And to that note, can you ask me a question?
Sure. Thanks, David. I appreciate the feedback and the input. My question to you is how to invoke the customer emotional connection towards a product beyond the product solving a problem for them.
So tell that story that's going to resonate with them. You know, talk about the day where you only have an hour to see one of your best friends. And you have been competitive since you're 5 years old, and you spend half the time picking up balls, and you didn't get to finish the match. Nobody gets to wear the tennis belt. You don't get to talk the trash that you want to do, or maybe you were gambling and you didn't get it. These are the types of stories that are going to draw people in emotionally, and you know the tennis stories. If you don't know them, then go to the clubs, the private clubs, and talk about, you know, the pains that people have suffered and the stories behind the pain, or even injuries. You know, a funny story may be to emotionally attach someone, you know, somebody's career, you know, like my friend Gus Frerotte's career ended when he headbutted the football padding when he scored a touchdown. Talk about someone that maybe leaned over and pulled out their back from picking up the tennis balls instead of playing. So these types of stories that can be real, they can be modified. I would do some research at all the tennis clubs or even do a contest who has the best stories about picking up tennis balls and then use those to emotionally attach. Does that sound fair?
That sounds amazing. Thanks, David. I really appreciate it.
Well, you are amazing. All six of my contestants are amazing. Luann, I owe you a question, I think, but that's okay. We'll do it offline. Thank you, thank you, thank you, all six contestants and all of the six sponsors that presented these unbelievable pitches. You can see there's so much to learn from everyone. And please take into context, this is just my opinion. These are just my suggestions. So go ahead and seek other people, experiment and practice as much as you can. Now, what I'd like to do next is run a short video about how we did this, right? There's lessons to learn about all of you out there want to know how best can we virtually present or pitch? How best can we do mastermind speeches, exhibits? How best can we do TV shows, movies virtually to keep everyone safe and social distance? Well, Clarity Experience has done it for me and they've proven it with this stage. Let's watch this video and then we're going to come back and pick the three winners with the CEO of Clarity Experiences, Brian Lagasty. Thank you so much.
As the event space evolves, Clarity Experiences remains your top choice to elevate your event and create lasting memories. With the recent shift away from large in-person meetings and into a more live streaming format, we have seen a surge in demand for virtual services. But not all virtual services are equal, and not all approaches are right for you. Luckily, Clarity Experiences has been doing virtual events for many years and has extensive experience in the real world. We have identified the best approaches to make the registration process quick and painless, support participation and engagement from all over the world, and elevate your production value with clear messaging and branding opportunities, setting your event apart from the rest. While we still feel face-to-face communication is the most effective way to connect and trade ideas, virtual conferences, when executed properly, serve as the best alternative to live events, and we at Clarity Experiences can help.
Well, first, Brian, I want to thank you for sponsoring the show, but moreover, to provide such an extraordinary platform to share ideas and to help people. We've seen this evolve. Yes. And as you know, we were blessed to be even picked up by Bloomberg. to have this aired on TV and in airports and hotel rooms. And all of these great sponsors and endorsements are coming in other companies as well. So just be careful, because I know there's a lot of other CEOs that want to come on and pick the three winners.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But let's talk about, in these times, compressed uncertainty, you know, what are the things that you've learned about adapting this productions and other productions to help people today?
Yeah, absolutely, David. Thank you so much for working with us. You know, and in, you know, the March, April timeframe, the world definitely changed in live events. And I know that you used to travel all over, all the time, on the road, doing events. And we were the partner that did a lot of events as well in all these different live venues all over the U.S. and North America. And we had to really change quickly to figure out, how can we continue to add value? How can we be grateful for our customers? How can we help them through a tough time? How can we really engage our audience virtually? So what we did is we looked within our teams and all of the great people that we have here at Clarity and outside of Clarity in the industry came together, and we found some ways in which we could enhance, you know, speakers and presenters and give them a better platform to share their message and to communicate. And so we really did that just by asking for help, looking within our teams, and really focusing on the people that do so much great work for us. And you've seen it evolve over the last several months, from the beginning when we were doing stuff to today, you know, the difference it can create and the different understanding that people have when they really are faced with challenge and adversity, how they come through that is just so, it's so great to watch, but it's also so important really to drive business forward.
You know, what's so funny is I thought to myself, when the pandemic happened, if I just can break even, you know, yeah, if I just can stay in contact with people, do a Zoom, yeah, you know, a Zoom thing. And we started it at that format. Yeah. And I have found that there's many advantages, production advantages, yeah, right? Like we do in the pitch, you can see there's some advantages, yeah, for someone pitching virtually home, compared, yeah, to in a conference room. Yeah. Well, there's definitely some advantages to exhibits and meetings and masterminds, keynote speeches, yeah, preparation-wise, practice-wise, virtuality-wise, but there's also advantages in profit. And I know I'm an extraordinary case because I travel 200 days a year, I speak over 100 places a year, and my team eats and drinks like there's no tomorrow. So I've saved all, yeah, of those, oh, they're cringing back there, all of those hospitality fees, and besides airplanes and travel. What are some of the other advantages that you've been able to see and produce for guys like me?
Yeah, so one of the things that we've been able to see is that the preparation time is very, very different. So in a live event, you might fly there and you might get 5 minutes on the stage or a short rehearsal. Right now, what we're seeing is the preparation time is significant. So presenters, keynote speakers, panel sessions, they actually spend their time weeks before the live event happens, or for the virtual event, you know, happens. And they're able to kind of make sure that that presentation or that event is what they want it to be. They're able to practice and rehearse a lot like our contestants today. And then we're able to pre-record that. We're able to make it look great. And then when the day comes for it to be streamed in the virtual environment, then they're able to listen to it live themselves, and then they can engage with the audience through the different Q&A features. So it allows the presenters and the panelists to really have a different experience than they would going up on stage. They can practice, they can rehearse, and they can pre-record their content, which seems to be a great advantage for most of the virtual events that you're seeing today. So,
well, there's an old saying, right? If Muhammad can't come to the party will come to Muhammad, and you bring the party to Muhammad. This, yeah, stuff goes to their houses, to, yeah, their companies, keeping everybody safe, and they can, yeah, come to the facility and use a virtual stage as well. There's so many different options that all create bigger margins,
yep,
may not a higher growth sometimes, but absolutely, and I've seen it and experienced, and I'm so grateful for you, yes, much bigger margins, which is basically what being in business is about. As you know, I train in a lot of executive coaching from entrepreneurs to big business. Margins are key to stay in business.
Yeah, you can't cash in revenue, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I wish I could. Anyway, now the time that we've been waiting for, you've been so gracious to host this and sponsor this. We have our third place winner.
Yes.
Our third place, mm-hmm, winner is sponsored by my dear friends at the VA Group. They're the virtual assistants that I use in order to effectuate the pragmatic, simple things, the duties and tasks that nobody wants to do. Our third place prize winner gets all of my books, all of the exercises, guides, and free trainings that I do. And of course, you got the water. I got to give them my props, because Alkaline 99, they have swayed me away from their competitors. Thank you so much. So you get a supply of water as well. Who is our third place winner and why?
So our third place winner. So a few of the things I really enjoyed about all the contestants this time is they were all very well prepared. They had their pitch thought out very well, and they communicated the key points very effectively. So it was a very hard decision. I looked through all the different pitches, and I pulled out a few really ones I thought stood out. So our third place winner is Alec Graw.
All right, Alec.
Alec, so congratulations, Alec.
Thank you.
So I really appreciated the revenue model that you discussed, the fact that you had some key sponsors, you had Manscaped involved in your program, you were able to give something of value to your customers. They're able to get confidence, they're able to feel better, get some brand names. I have problems picking out my clothes, so I'd love for you to help me out with that. But I thought the way that you had your ask positioned and the way that you really clearly articulated your business model and what you're looking to do was you did a fantastic job. So congratulations, and I'm super proud to be part of this pitch today, and congratulations on the third place prize.
Thank you very much.
Awesome, Alex. Well, we pointed out one other thing, Brian, that's really interesting to me is that because you're able to provide such a great platform, it actually puts the people, the contestants, the speakers, the exhibitors, yeah, at ease. Yeah. And you talked about they were so much better.
Yes.
I think the pitches would have been equally as good early on if we would have given them the tools to do so, because it gets really nerve-wracking, yeah, when your internet's not working, yes, and you have no name below you or whatever it is. And it, still, even you got the human dummy tax over here not allowing Luann to make a question or misspelling someone's name. But beyond that, we're doing pretty well. Okay. The second prize, which is sponsored by the Working Stiff guys who, yes, do our collar sleeves, not
they're
just
great
for dress shirts, but for golf shirts. Yeah. And I love those guys. They're so much fun with great products. But the second place not only gets my supply of water and the books and exercises, guides, and the free trainings, but also gets a whole year of my private group coaching, which has been a real blessing, especially during the pandemic. And I would love to know who you picked for the second prize and why.
Well, that's great to be part of your, your monthly group is fantastic.
Oh, by the way, are they going to give you a free robe? Was that why you chose
it? Maybe. I know. I'm hoping some of that.
You don't listen to me. You should have asked for the free robe. I can't give you mine. I'm too small.
Oh, well, we'll have to try to find a few extras, and hopefully that package comes.
Hopefully
he's
still watching.
Maybe there's a few things in there. So, Alec, make sure you send some our way. So, our second place prize, I really connected with this pitch in the fact that it had a really strong emotional connection, but it also had a great story behind it, and there was a lot of substance to the overall pitch and the overall business model. So our second place winner is Jaden Risner.
Hey, congratulations.
Jaden, congratulations.
Right, thanks, everyone. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I thought you did a fantastic job. I think the people that you have involved in your company are amazing. The talent that you've put together, the group of people that are really, helping you build this business is amazing. Your ask, your data was very clear, and I see a great future in the healthcare industry and in being able to find a way to support people's families during really difficult times. So so congratulations on your mission and your vision in your life and in this business, and congratulations on the second place prize. I think it's well deserved.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, well, we got second and third all decided. Our first place prize is sponsored by, of course, one of my favorite companies, Clarity Experiences, and you. So thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. I think this is a tough decision because this is one of the few times I have no clue who you're going to pick. I really don't. And that just shows you how quality the pitches were. And everyone had improvements to make, but they did a damn good job. And I want to move forward and help all six companies. Who do you have as our grand prize winner? Oh, first, I apologize. What do they win? Of course, they win the water and the exercises, guides, books, and the private group as well. A whole year of private group training. But they also get one-on-one private executive training from me personally. And so we'll add that in. And hopefully they see the value, especially because I charge a lot for that, that we do. So who do you have and why?
Well, David, in the time that I've gotten to know you and being able to spend a lot of one-on-one time with you over the last several years and months, I know how much value that has. So this first place winner, they're getting a lot, a tremendous amount of value for not only their life, but for their business and where they're headed. So I think it's an awesome package that we put together and that they're going to be able to benefit from. So in looking at all the contestants, it was a great day. I loved, the last hour that we've been spending together. It's been fantastic hearing all the pitches. And before we announce the number one, I do want to say thank you to all the contestants. I think they did an amazing job. There's a lot of great companies that I think have a lot of value and are going to go a long way. I think this in particular company and person stood out because they have a great ability to expand and grow this business tremendously. So without any additional time, I'm going to announce our first place winner was Ross O'Dwyer.
Hey, Ross, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. An absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed it. And, David, looking forward to getting to spend more time with you. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, you did a fantastic job. I think in your overall pitch, understanding the value of sports, people watching sports and what they want to consume. I do think the cable companies and satellite companies have a little bit of a challenge with all of the way sports are being consumed these days. And I think that your business model and your ability to kind of monetize that and have that as also a gambling platform, I think has a huge upside. And it's a kind of a newer industry in regards to online sports betting. And I think really a fantastic opportunity to really grow your business. So I'm excited to see where it goes. And congratulations again on the first place prize.
Yeah, we certainly think so too. It's it's obviously been an exciting program where we actually met David Jim Texter. As we've been just looking to grow and expand the business now along those routes that you outlined. So really excited for the future.
Awesome! Congratulations.
All right, Ross. Well, there you have it. We did it. The great pilot of the 2-minute drill, and I want to thank you, especially Brian, for helping me here with Clarity Experience and Bloomberg for 2-minute drill. We made it what it is. It is our Friday training. So I do want to mention a few things. One, I want to mention these great sponsors. This show would not be on TV throughout the airports, hotel rooms, and on Bloomberg, as well as the digital platforms. Starting in January, we're going to start filming now that we got this down pat, or at least if I can remember everything, it'll be down pat. But Alkaline 88, Dose, Dale Carnegie, La Costa Azul, Vivint Solar, Muse, and Working Stiffs. And of course, Brian Lagasty, CEO of Clarity Experiences. This is incredible. You even can make me look good. Now remember, everyone, every Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, we have our training. It's free for everyone. So share with your friends, family, associates. Next week's training is on manifestation. If you want the perfect pitch guide or exercises, just reach out to me directly, david@dmeltzer.com, or join our text community. Brian's in there as well, 949-298-2905. I am so grateful to everyone for joining us. I'm so grateful for having this opportunity. And once again, I know, Brian, you have a daughter as well. I'm so grateful to Marissa, Mia, and Marlena, my three beautiful daughters, on National Daughter Day. I love you so, so much. Thank you, hopefully, for joining us here. And remember, most importantly, everyone, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Thank you so much. Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.